Send anyone, anywhere.
You too.
The first reading today is from Mark 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. The second reading is from John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not part of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" May God add his blessing to the reading.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our service. It's sometimes a little bit of a rush being at the first service at Epsom and then coming over here. But one of the things I really enjoy about it is coming in to hear when you're singing praise to God, or when there's that silence and there's prayer here and our hearts are united together. It is so good to see. I look forward to seeing you, to being able to be here with you and to sharing with you in the scriptures. So welcome to our service today. Our theme, pardon me, is follow me. There was a recent headline in the Dominion Post that read, the most popular Kiwi you have never heard of. Now, I had never heard of her, but that's not to say you haven't heard of her. Some of you may have heard of her. Jamie Curry, a 16-year-old girl from Hawke's Bay. Has anyone heard of her? Oh, great. Yeah? That's good. There were four here. There were two at Epsom in our slightly older congregation. So I was really thinking it would be good if more people here had heard of her. It was reported recently that she has 7 million people a week linked into Facebook feeds with her videos and photos and status updates, and 60,000 people subscribe to her on YouTube, and she recently launched a Twitter account, and before you could blink, she had 13,000 followers. She said part of her attraction is that she is not afraid to act weird or to make a fool of herself. So if you haven't got that many followers, you're probably not acting weird enough. It's really interesting, isn't it? The Facebook and Twitter and the way communication is changing and people are relating to each other slightly differently in this electronic way, that so many people will follow some on Facebook or Twitter. I wonder if Jesus was a teenager today, if he would have a Facebook account, if he was on Twitter, and how many people would follow him. I heard of a Twitter conference that was held in Europe recently. I think it was in Paris, and so people came together to talk about Twitter. One of them had written a novel, 500 pages, tweet by tweet. So, and I just sort of wondered if Jesus could have done that. And I meant to count, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm not quite sure if that would fit in. Maybe it would. Maybe you could do the Sermon on the Mount by Twitter. Today we're ending our series in Mark by looking at Jesus' invitation, follow me. Whether it's in a modern sense or in the sense that he spoke of it, follow me. And we've looked at four mega themes that are found in that opening chapter of Mark. That's wobbly. Doesn't matter where I put it. So we looked at these mega themes. Basically in verses 14 and 15, one of them was the good news of God. This is a big theme in the New Testament, big theme in the Bible. In the New Testament, you see it being brought out again and again and again. And then Jesus said, with regard to that, the kingdom of God is near. And again, you read about the kingdom of God in so many places in the Gospels or where Matthew spoke of it. He didn't want to use the word God, so he put heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. And in regard to that, Jesus gave the command, repent. And he also gave the command, believe. And in the process of this, we have had Mark telling us Jesus is the Son of God. Isaiah, as one of the Old Testament prophets, and many Old Testament prophets did, spoke about Jesus, the Messiah, the one who was to come. Then John the Baptist, he also spoke, preparing the way for Jesus to come. The voice from heaven at Jesus' baptism affirmed our Heavenly Father, this is my beloved Son whom I love. Listen to him. And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and alighted onto Jesus. All of these different things we're being told about Jesus, ready for when Jesus himself would stand up and say, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe. And then he also said, follow me. So reflect for a moment on what Jesus is saying. Repent, believe, follow. Repent of your sins, believe the good news, follow me. Imagine what it would be like for a person who doesn't go to church to open the Bible at Mark's Gospel and to read this. Imagine they didn't have any Sunday school background. They weren't quite sure of who Jesus was. Maybe they went into a bookshop, saw a Bible and thought, oh, I haven't read this. I'll see what it's about, why so many people look at it. And she opened it up and there it says, repent, believe, follow me. How would a person respond to that? Hugely, hugely challenging. Who would dare to make claims like this? Has to be some sort of a joke, doesn't it? That someone would say, repent, believe, and follow me, perhaps an April Fool's prank, or else it's terribly arrogant that someone would have the gall to stand before other people and say, follow me, repent and believe, and follow me. Or it could be the most important invitation you have ever been given. C.S. Lewis said of Christianity, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. And I think this can be adapted to Jesus' command to follow me. You see, if Jesus is a nobody, then the call to follow him, it's just not important at all. But if he truly is the Son of God, then it's infinitely important. And the one thing that it can't be is moderately important. I might follow, I might not follow. Who knows, maybe today or tomorrow. But it just can't be that sort of thing. It is so, so important. Either it's not important at all, or it's of infinite value. As I prepared and prayed and thought about this message, I found myself again overwhelmed by these two words of Jesus, follow me. Overwhelmed because I have heard that call in my own life and it has changed me and I know what it is to follow. And I've given my life over to it. And through the years of my life, I have sought to stay close to Jesus. I just know in my own experience what it means to follow. And when I reflect on what God has done in my heart and my life, I find this overwhelming. Overwhelming because I know if you hear not simply the words, but the voice of him who says, follow me, and you or others hear it and follow, lives will be changed. Lives will be different. Never, never, never the same again. And overwhelmed because just two words, follow me. And yet they are so deep and so profound that it is really hard to find a way to describe them and to speak about them to you. There's something so, so deep in this. To understand this, we need to consider who it is who says, follow me. And as we think of who says that, what do you hear when Jesus says, follow me? There was on the shore of the lake the man Jesus walking towards these fishermen. When artists paint him, they always seem to make him look handsome, with the piercing blue eyes and the lovely hair and the light of the halo, which is different from anyone else around him, so that you're drawn to him. And yet, the prophet Isaiah said of him, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And so I wonder what it was that Peter and James and John and Andrew saw as Jesus walked towards him. Probably someone who was quite ordinary looking in many senses. It wouldn't stand out in the crowd. In fact, one time Jesus went to the temple in secret and he was walking around there and no one knew who he was. And it wasn't until he actually came out and started speaking and teaching with authority that they twigged, this is Jesus who we have heard of. And so there was nothing that you would see just as you looked that would make him stand out. And yet, when you look at what the Bible says, you discover he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of all things. He is the Son of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Hosts. And when you think of him and who he is, by nature we find that he is the one who is most compassionate, just, holy, humble, loving, forgiving. This is who he is. But I don't think Peter and the others would have seen that just as he was walking toward them. And he comes to them and he says, follow me. And there's something in those words because of who it is that is saying them. Last year I listened to a sermon by John Ortberg entitled, Who is This Man? And as this was one of the, perhaps the best sermon on who Jesus is that I have ever heard. And as I heard this and it washed over me, it was just so moving to think again and again all these wonderful titles of who Jesus is, of what he has done, of what he has accomplished, of the effect that he has had on people throughout history. So if you ever get to hear that message by John Ortberg, take it. You will find it is just so, so good. He's also written a book on this. And what happened was, at least as I can best understand it, John Ortberg is a minister in Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in San Francisco. And he did this series of sermons on who Jesus was, about five or six sermons. They were powerful. They're on the website. I've given you on the notices a link to that website, and you can go and you can listen to them. And he sort of built this up, and then he brought it into this one sermon. And when you hear the one sermon, it just is mind-blowing. He's also written a book. So if you can't get the sermon, you can't see it online. Then get the book and read it because it is just so powerful. Because you see, to understand the words follow me, you need to understand who this person who is saying it is. And as you understand that, the words become much more significant. Another book I've been reading lately, David Platt, his book Follow Me, tells a story of himself and his wife Heather adopting a child from Kazakhstan. And in order to do this, they wanted to adopt, they lived in the United States, they had to go and have a physical. And they had to go and see a psychiatrist, and have a sort of a, how are they doing mentally? And they had to, in a sense, show to the government of the United States that they were fit parents to bring a child from overseas. At the same time, these tests they had to go through were for the people in Kazakhstan because they had to show to them that they would be fit parents. And then they got this photograph of this little boy and they just wanted to adopt him. And so they went over there and they had to spend time with him. He was a little baby, cradled in their arms, hold him, be seen with him, be observed with him, go places with him, to be seen. You know, these people really are people who could be parents and know how to look after a child. And then to appear before a judge on a couple of occasions to have the judge assess all this information and all that was said about their interaction with this baby. Now, the thing that he brings out of this when he speaks about it is this. This little baby lying in a cot didn't have a clue that he was an orphan and needed a family. This little baby didn't know, but didn't have the words, hadn't learned to speak, to ask for the help of a family. But all that while, here was a couple preparing, getting ready, seeking, getting permissions, traveling, seeking, going, finding, and eventually adopting and bringing back. And David said, that is like the story of God with us. Even before we understand where we are and the depth of our need, God is working out a plan to adopt us into his family. Before we know enough to call out to him, he is sending his son among us to prepare a way for us. This is what God has done for us because God so loved us. When we were helpless, he made the arrangement that we could be his children at great cost and great sacrifice, a price we could not pay. God paid for us, and he came looking for us. He came into our world, and he said, as he says today, follow, follow me, follow me. But what do you hear when Jesus says, follow me? Perhaps you hear a demand. It's unreasonable, an unreasonable request that this should be made. Who would dare to ask or command this of me? Or perhaps you think it's a bit of an unfair deal. Oh, I could follow Jesus, but think of all the things I would have to give up, things that I would have to walk away from. This doesn't seem right. Or perhaps you think this is stepping on your human rights. I want to be free, to be able to do my own thing and to go my own way. And yet, if I was to follow Jesus, I would be giving up on that. Well, consider this. If you were lost in the bush, and a dock ranger said, "Oh, there you are. Follow me and I'll take you back to the track." How would you hear that voice? Or if you were rushing to hospital, about to have a baby, and a traffic officer said, "I'll put on my flashing lights, follow me." How would you hear that voice? Or if you were in a dark, dark place, and the light of the world was to say to you, "Follow me, and I'll lead you out into the light of life." How would you hear and respond to that voice? What do you hear when Jesus says, "Follow me"? Do you hear the light of the world invite you to follow him into the light of life? Do you hear, "Follow me"? It's the good shepherd speaking to the sheep who recognize his voice and follow. Do you hear in that the creator of life who invites you to follow him into abundant life? Do you hear when he says, "Follow me," the voice of the Savior who invites you to follow him to the salvation of your soul? Do you hear the voice of the Son of God inviting you to follow him to spiritual birth and to new life? Do you hear the voice of him who calmed the sea saying, "Follow me, and even through the struggles of your life, I will be with you"? Do you hear the voice of him who rose from the dead saying, follow me into eternal life"? Do you hear the voice of the one who called God Father saying, "You can be a part of this family and you can know God as your Father too"? What do you hear? What do you hear when you say, when you hear Jesus say, "Follow me"? And when he says that, where's he leading? We have an advantage over the disciples. Jesus just came up to them, "Follow me." They didn't know what that involved, but we have the scriptures. We have thousands of years of Christian history to know and to understand, where is this leading? When you follow Jesus, it leads to the cross. And on that cross, your sin is dealt with and the wrath of God is satisfied. It leads to the empty tomb, which says so much into our hearts, into our lives. But among other things, it says Jesus has conquered death and has risen victorious. And it leads, when we follow him, to his heavenly Father. We become adopted into the family of God. And it leads into relationships with other followers, his family, the people of God who come and meet together. And it leads into eternity, the promise of eternal life, where Christ will come and the new heavens and the new earth will be created. And on that new earth, God will come and bring his throne and he will be with us. "Well, follow me" is a call that is repeated so often in the Gospels. Jesus says, "Follow me" to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He says, "Follow me" to the would-be disciples. "We might come with you, Lord." "Follow me," Jesus said. To Matthew, he says, "Follow me." To the disciples when he challenged them, "Take up your cross and follow me." And again, when challenging people to deny themselves, "Deny yourself and follow me." Or to the rich young ruler, "Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then you come and follow me." And to Philip, he says, "Follow me." And when speaking of himself as the light of the world, Jesus says, "Follow me." And when he says, "I am the good shepherd," he says, "Follow me." And when he speaks of those who would serve him, he says to them, "If you're going to serve me, then follow me." And then again to Peter. We begin in a sense with Peter on the shores of Lake Galilee. And Jesus comes and says, "Follow me." And then just before Jesus ascends into heaven, again, Peter is on the shore with Jesus, and Jesus says to Peter twice, "Follow me. Follow me, Peter. Follow me." Reinstating him, "Follow me." To add to all this, I'm just talking about where it says "follow me." If you look for the word "follow," it appears so many more times because Jesus is calling people to follow him. It's an idea that's there repeatedly, driving home the thought. Jesus calls people to follow him and expects people to respond by following him. Now, there's so much that could be said about this, but I want to change tack a little bit and focus on the life of the church. I've been at Greyfriars now just over a year. And with Epsom, our Walk with Epsom family is about 5 months. And to understand my ministry and the emphasis that I bring to the life of the church, then you need to have some insight into what Jesus' words, "follow me," in fact, mean to me. It's of central importance in my life and of my ministry. And I try to live in a Christ-centered way. I submit my heart to him. I live my life for him. And because of his grace and his goodness to me, because he loved me and sought me, even before I knew him, I have this opportunity to follow him, and I do. And the importance of Jesus' words, follow me, became very, very clear to me during my last ministry at Tohunanui in Nelson. And as we were there trying to think of, as a church, how do we express the mission of the church in a way that people can understand and get hold of? I went and visited another church in a seminar, and while we were having morning tea, I opened up one of their booklets, and it said in it, our mission is to help people follow Jesus. And God just touched my heart. I could feel within God affirming this to me, and I took it back to Hunanui. This is what God calls us to do, to help people follow Jesus. If Jesus says, follow me, then the task of those who follow is to help others to do the same. It resonated me. God touched me deeply in my understanding of what mission was about. And so then, when I was considering coming to Greyfriars, one of the first things that I did was to look into the mission statement here. And in the mission statement here, it said to help people follow Jesus. And that was a part of what warmed my heart and drew me, and a part of what God used to lead me to this place. Now, I am sure that other churches have good mission statements, but I'm fully convinced there is none better than helping people follow Jesus. To me, it echoes the invitation, the very words of Jesus. In it, I hear his voice. It's a statement which is both simple and so, so profound spiritually. It is a mission which, if we were able to achieve it, would change this church, would change this community, would change this city. It introduces people to a Savior. It empowers them with the Holy Spirit. It brings them into the family of our Heavenly Father. This helping people follow Jesus is scripturally sound. It's missionally powerful. It's faithful to the intention of Jesus. I am 100% sold on this as a mission. I pour my life and my heart into achieving it. I give my resources, my time and my energy into advancing it. Melanie and I have made sacrifices that none but God alone can really understand in order to advance this mission, helping people to follow Jesus. I don't say this to put myself ahead of you, because I know so many of you hold dearly to this also, and you serve God with your whole being, and in as much as you are able, you follow. And so I don't put myself ahead of you, but I just say this so that you understand what is on my heart and how God has led me. You see, I'm convinced as if we as a church will hold on to this in our hearts and our mission, it will change us, it will change our families, it will change our community, it will change our city. If we can witness to what it means to follow Jesus and help others to come to a place where they hear Jesus say to them, follow me, then this church will shine as a light to the glory of God in the city. Helping people to follow Jesus is a mission that will give direction to our future, priority to how we use our resources. It will help us to shape the way we structure our church life and highlight what is really important to us. It will help us to focus our energies, to inspire our service. It will bring vitality to our worship times together. It will give impetus to our home groups. And all the while, as we do this, following Jesus will take us deeper into his word. It will draw us together in prayer. It will deepen our fellowship and our friendship with each other. It will unite us as a family of faith. It will take us closer to the heart of our Heavenly Father, his heartbeat. We will just know it and sense it and be drawn to the heartbeat of God our Father. It will cause us to be more reliant on his Holy Spirit. And it will cause us and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. This is what can happen if we take seriously these words of Jesus, follow me. Well, what difference does this make to us? If you've got a new computer game, often they have this sort of intro that tells you the story and helps you to put things into context. But if you're impatient, there's often a little thing that says, skip intro, and you get straight into the game. If you're new to church and you're looking at Christianity and you're weighing it up to see if you would like to follow Jesus, then feel free, really, feel free to take your time to ask your questions, to check it out. But if I were you, knowing what I know now, I would press skip intro and get into the game and start following Jesus right here and right now. Right now you can recognize his love for you. Now you can know that he has been seeking you. Now you can repent and believe and follow. Now you might feel I'm pressuring you, but that's not my intention. I just want you to get to the good bit sooner. The peace, the forgiveness, the purpose in life, the relationship with God, the relationship with his family. If I seem impatient, forgive me. It's just that I know, and so many of you know, how good it is to walk with Jesus and to follow Jesus. And for those of you who have known and followed for some time, perhaps you need to do a warrant of fitness check on your level of following. Ask yourself, am I following Jesus in my family life? When I choose to watch something on TV, am I following Jesus? Could Jesus sit beside me and watch this? When I pursue my hobbies, is this something Jesus would want me to be involved in? Time with friends or family or children or spouse, brothers or sisters, am I being godly and following Jesus in what I'm doing at the moment? When I'm in a lecture or in the surgery or at the office or the workshop, am I following Jesus in what I say and how I act in this place? When I'm shopping or getting petrol or making a meal, when I'm spending my money or spending my time, in these things, am I still following Jesus? And some might ask, what could I do to follow him more closely? Well, attend church more regularly. Read a Christian book from the library. Join a home group or come to a prayer meeting. These things will help you to follow Jesus more closely. You could ask, how could I help our church to achieve the mission? If you're following Jesus, you want to help someone else follow Jesus? Well, how can I do that? Find a place of service. Help with the morning tea. Set out the chairs. Open the church for worship. Join the worship team. Help with the youth group or the Sunday school. Become part of the care team. Maybe you could assist with mainly music at Epsom or with the Friday play group. Or join GSET and help with the social events. Or the property team and help look after the buildings. Support our overseas missions. Host or lead a home group. You might think, I couldn't do any of that. You would be surprised at what you can do when you're following Jesus. When you follow Jesus, things open up before you. When you follow Jesus, he will use the skills he has given you and enrich you with so much more. He uniquely gifts us with skills and passions and resources and talents that can be used in his kingdom. He has given you a lifetime, however long or however short, he has given you a lifetime in which you can follow him and serve him. And you are important. Every one of you has a part to play in this most important calling to follow Jesus. The reality of this, followers of Jesus are not meant to simply attend church. Followers of Jesus are the church. And we contribute into the life of the church so that others can follow. This is what we are called to do. One of the things I love most about this church is the way we follow Jesus here. I see it all the time. I am privileged as one of the ministers here to see so much in GSET or the kids' church or kids' zone or the youth group tonight. If you want to see following Jesus in action, come to the cafe service tonight with the youth groups or chit-chat or grace, the things I hear from the Epsom Games night or the mainly music or the renewed life that has come through the 40 days of community or in the support we give to overseas mission. And I just loved it when Judith Jackson was here and the way we were able to embrace her and help her and encourage her in her mission and so much she will take back to Taiwan with her. Or the Kents, one of our missionary families who are coming as we prepare to embrace them. All of these things, we see the following of Jesus and how it works out. We are a church that follows Jesus and we help others to follow him. And the things that we do outwardly are a simple sign of what is happening inwardly. We follow him with our heart. We follow him with our faith. We follow him in our service. We follow him with our worship. Let's keep following. Let's keep following him, fixing our eyes on him, going where he calls us to go and following in his footsteps. Let's be people who follow Jesus moment by moment. And may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happens as we follow. Let's pray. Maybe as I've been speaking this morning, you haven't so much been listening to me, but you've heard the voice of God say something to you. And it's time for you to do business with God. And maybe that business is to set your heart to follow. Or maybe you have followed it some time, but you've slipped away. The Good Shepherd is saying, follow me, follow me. In this moment of silence, I just invite you. Do that business with God. Oh Lord, as a church, we set our hearts to follow you. Lord, you have called us and we will follow. If the way is hard, Lord, we will follow in the strength that you give to us. If the way is full of joy, then we will celebrate with praise and worship as we follow you. Oh Lord, as we follow you, we will embrace our brothers and sisters in this place. We will unite in heart as family. Oh Lord, we will follow you. We will follow you into this community, to the places you will take us, to the people you will put us alongside. Oh Lord, we will follow you. And help us as we do so, Lord, to help others to follow you. Let us be a church, Lord, that we know that we are people who belong here, people who are your family in this place. And out of that strength that we have in you together, oh Lord, send us out to help others follow you in this community. Oh Lord, do this among us and in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.